All right, welcome to episode number 2 of our new and improved Crimson and Gold show. I'm Nick Tremoroli of Let's Go DU, here with Chris Bay of Magnus Mayhem. Chris, how you doing? Saw DU play UMD.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, Nick. And this is my favorite series of the year. And when I was walking back up after player interviews, I ran into some Duluth players and congratulated them on their heart. And really a great win for them. I mean, disappointing for DU fans, but the pace of these games is always so amazing and so much talent out on the ice for both teams that just a great weekend for them.
Yeah, and it's a tough loss tonight, like you mentioned. You know, they blew a 3-goal lead. They had a 3-0 lead in the third period, and of course you give up 3 goals there in the third period. Not exactly what you want to see, but you know, you split with Minnesota Duluth after getting swept by St. Cloud up in Minnesota. You know, they've survived what I see as the toughest 2 weeks of their schedule to me. And I think, you know, moving forward, there's a lot they can learn from these 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the 4 games, cumulatively, they're -1 against the top 2 teams in the nation. Every player and Coach Carl said tonight their play this weekend was so much better than last weekend against a team that may or may not be better than St. Cloud, but I think they're probably the 2 best teams in Division I right now. So I think there's a lot of positives to take. Devin Cooley played well. You know, they built leads both nights, and everything that everybody told me coming into this weekend was do not fall behind to Minnesota Duluth, and they didn't.
Right, they didn't. And, you know, they'll say that they didn't play well. You know, Tyson McClellan told us tonight that, you know, they got outplayed last night, but Devin Cooley stole them a win. But they played 40 minutes of very good elite-level hockey tonight. A young team has a tendency, and I said this in my recap, you know, learnable moments, teachable moments happen at oftentimes the most inopportune moments. You know, I think that happened tonight. Mm-hmm. And their youth and inexperience cost them tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there is a concern I would have, it is that holding leads has been a bit of a challenge over the past 5 games. Now, they're in the NCHC, and they're playing good teams in the NCHC. But that's probably one of the learning areas, but a lot of things that they needed to clean up, they did tonight. They only took 1 penalty. The last 3 games, they took 6. They took 8 at St. Cloud and 5 at St. Cloud. You know, they really cleaned that up. They managed the puck a lot better. And let's not forget, they had 14 shots tonight and 20, or 14 shots last night, 29 tonight. So, I mean, they're not just making incremental improvements. I mean, when they learn lessons, they tend to learn them, and they stay with them. And we saw evidence of that tonight, despite the outcome.
Absolutely. They cleaned up their play. You know, there was a lot of talk last weekend about how, you know, it was sloppy play on top of undisciplined play. You know, that's not a combination that you want to have when you're playing a team like St. Cloud. And realistically speaking, those 2 4-3 losses could have easily been 7-3, 8-3, the way DU played. Devin Cooley played very well, but they were in both of those games out there, which says a lot about this team's resiliency, about their ability, quite honestly. You know, they were outshot by, what, I think probably 2-1 over the course of that weekend. But they had a chance in those last minutes to at least tie the game, and they were in it all the way up until the end. So, yeah, as close as the score, even though the score is closer than the games actually were, it still was 4-3, and you have to be very encouraged by that fact at this point in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Coach Carl mentioned, just the stretch that they're in, we've got Providence coming in, top 10 team, North Dakota going there, and then you have the Christmas break. And, you know, you survive this and come out of this stretch at 500 or close to it, which I think is very possible. You know, I think things set up well for them moving forward in the second half.
Not only possible, but I'd say probable. There were moments this weekend, at least tonight, that what I saw was flashes of brilliance. This team passes well. They skate well. When they're going, they know where each other are on the ice at all times. They just have a tendency to get overwhelmed. And you saw that in the third period. Whereas last year when they couldn't hold a lead, it was maybe a little bit of hubris. that team, you know, they came in thinking that, you know, and rightfully so, they had all the talent in the world. But, you know, it was a slow burn almost that teams were working their way back in. You know, in the comebacks that we've seen so far this year, it's a whole heap of goals that they give up all at the same time. And you saw that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I mean, I, everybody said this to us after the game. We've said this to each other all night. I mean, this is a really good team they played tonight. I mean, I did not see St. Cloud in person. I only watched online. They're obviously very skilled, very good. I have a hard time believing that they're better than this team. I mean, Duluth just came at them in waves, and I thought they would come out breathing fire tonight. And the fact that Denver contained them the way they did the first two periods was highly impressive. And they've got an excellent goaltender. They're half or two-thirds of their defense might be in the NHL in the next couple years. I mean, they're a legit, legit team. So, again, not to sound like a broken record, but I think you can take a lot of encouragement from this weekend and going forward for DU. And, you know, if I could say one concern, when you look at the recent scoring, it's very heavily weighted toward the top two lines and a couple of defensemen. And, I mean, maybe the defensemen are going to be the secondary scoring form, and that's what they're going to be. The third line last night of Häkkinen, Staub, and Barrow was outstanding. I thought they were pretty good again tonight. And that's a very tough line to play against. McClellan, Derflinger, Olashevsky, who got bumped up last night when Stapley was ejected. But I thought that line was good. I'd like to see him get some scoring from down lineup, because I charted Duluth put their top two pairs out against those top lines all night.
Yeah.
And they're much bigger defensemen. And maybe they got worn down a little bit by that. I mean, after six periods of getting thumped around, and it was a physical series on both sides, having that scoring balance, I think, could make a difference. And I hope it emerges over the course of the season, and I think it will. It's not a question of ability. It's not a question of hard work. It's just the top two lines have really carried this team, along with a couple of the defensemen.
Absolutely, they have. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head with Duluth. I mean, they're a big, physical, talented, fast team. I mean, they have, you know, in baseball, you talk about five-tool players. This is a five-tool team. I mean, they have everything going for them. And it was impressive to see what DU was able to do in the first two periods tonight. I mean, they were forcing uncharacteristic mistakes. They were taking advantage of a lethargic team, I thought, early on. And DU almost, you know, they turned the tables on Minnesota Duluth, and they came at Duluth in wave after wave after wave. But the problem was they took their foot off the gas later on, and you can't do that against a team like Duluth. But going forward, secondary scoring is a challenge for every team. I mean, especially in the NCHC, you're going to have – every team has that top line, top two lines that are going to blow you away with scoring. It's that secondary scoring that I think is a challenge, and especially for a young team like DU, who, you know, they have talent, especially young talent, but you've got guys like Staub, guys like Barrow, who are definitely gritty guys – that, you know, they have scoring ability.
Absolutely.
But if it's not coming, it's not coming. So be it. As long as that scoring is coming from guys like Les Lancaster, you know, from Ian Mitchell, these guys on the blue line who have no problem stepping up into the offensive game, that, you know, you put them on left wing or right wing, they're going to fit in like a glove. You know, it's going to be fine. But it does start to get a little concerning, you know, if those top two lines decide to go cold for a stretch, if those third and fourth lines can't pick up the slack, you know, it starts to get a little bit concerning, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we look forward, we've got one more series before the DU has a week off. Then they go to North Dakota. Then they have two more weeks off. Mm-hmm. And then they go on the road for 2 weeks to start the second half of the season. And as we were looking at their schedule, I think we both agree it sets up rather favorably for them. I mean, when you emerge from this stretch of eight really difficult games, I think they're going to have, you know, learned a lot, and I think they're going to be in a really good position going forward after Christmas.
Listen, it's never easy to go into the Ralph and pull off wins, but at the end of the day, Western Michigan just went in there and smashed North Dakota at the Ralph. I mean, I was seeing some tweets. They got completely outclassed in their own building. So North Dakota, you know, you never know with North Dakota, especially with this rivalry, but you look at Providence, you hope for at least a split. I think Hockey East is in a down decade, shall we call it? Hockey East is down this year, and Providence, I mean, they're still a great team. Nate Lehman's a great head coach. Heck, he was mentioned, you know, as a potential replacement for Monty for a good reason. But Providence is good. I mean, I think they put up 16 goals, I heard, against Merrimack this weekend. DU has their work cut out for them, especially defensively. But Providence is a beatable team after what they just did against St. Cloud State and Minnesota Duluth. So you survive Providence with a split or a sweep. After that, their schedule opens up into winnable game after winnable game after winnable series after winnable series.
Yeah, and, you know, there's no telling. I mean, there's other teams that are younger, probably going to develop. I know CC is not happy with how they've started, but, you know, as Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. And right now, DU is 7-2-2. I don't think a lot of people had them at that. And quite honestly, if they play like they did this weekend, I think things bode very, very well for them going forward.
Absolutely. They're not going to play two teams that are better than St. Cloud State and Minnesota Duluth this year.
Not back-to-back until they get to the tournament.
Exactly. That's the takeaway this weekend. They played well. A little frustrating at times, but you got to be encouraged by what we've seen, especially from this team with so many freshmen.
Yes, and the willingness of the coaching staff to rotate the younger players, the new players, in and out of the lineup, and you see glimpses from some of these guys. There's some Stapley, Gutman, Emilio, Pedersen, Peterson. It's Peterson, I think, and Demon. I mean, they've been mainstays, but you know, now you see Tyler Ward sliding into that second line role, and he was very good tonight. He's not someone who's been talked about, but he was very good. I saw him around the puck a lot tonight.
He had two assists tonight.
Yeah, it might have been his best game he's played in college yet. Some of the younger defensemen, I see strengths with them that when they get their chance, and you know, you've got some other forwards sitting out there who've been in and out of the lineup that I think there's going to be opportunities for all these guys to play, and you need that depth. You never go through a season without injuries, and I like the position they're in, and I think I'm going to really like the position they're in a month or two.
Oh, absolutely. If they survive this first half, be at 500, you know, I was joking with Jay Stickney during one of the intermissions, you know, if they could get to Christmas at 500 or better, throw a parade. Because you hit the second half of this season after growing together, after going through a loss like this together. I mean, you go through adversity and you become closer as a team. You hit that second half with the schedule that they have moving forward. They could go on a run, and this team could, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but this team could mirror a little bit of what Minnesota Duluth was last year.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I think there's, you know, comparisons you can make. I made them this week. I'm not exactly sure if I'm on the mark or if I missed the mark, but there are some similarities, and I think the speed and the intelligence of so many of these players, how well they're already meshing. I mean, you know, the problem is not how well they play together, which with a team that has an infusion of so many young players is often the case, you know, and I think it's a credit to the coaching staff. Not to sound like a suck up here, but I really think they've done a good job integrating players, teaching them, you know, working with them about this is what your role is going to be, and you know, so far it's worked. And I think 500 is way too low for the break myself. I think they're going to, you know, can they hit 10 wins by Christmas? I don't think it's out of the question.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that this team's not a 500 team, even now. They've struggled at times. We sound like a broken record saying that they're young. This is a good team. I truly think they're a top four team in the country, and you saw that these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, if they can play with St. Cloud and Duluth, I think they can play with anybody.
Simply put. So, well, I think that's a good place to stop for episode two. So, Chris, thanks again for joining me here. I think this is turning into a great feature, and I think next weekend we'll have another chance to do it and kind of look back at our predictions after Providence.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Nick. I always enjoy it.